This is David Walsh in the Washington, D.C. area. How are you doing?
This is who?
David Walsh in the Washington, D.C. area. We had exchanged emails. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. What's on your mind?
Is it okay if we chat for a couple of minutes regarding the issue of the race?
No problem.
Thank you very much. I'm a slow note taker, and it saves time if I record this, if it's all right.
I don't care.
Okay. Appreciate it. The story that Bamford has in his book about Mr. Nowicki and then Mr. Nowicki's kind of recanting seemed kind of interesting. You were on board. You were the pilot of the plane, were you not?
I was the navigator.
You were the navigator, I see.
Yeah.
And you dealt with, I guess, on a daily basis, the guys who were the tenders in the back and
their tent was 2 feet from my head.
Mm-hmm.
They walked, I never knew what was going on in there, but they were right next to me, so we were pretty close, I guess.
Right. And what Mr. Morrison, who is the deputy director of NSA, told me was that he was a bit alarmed by the the fact that the Israelis chased you all out of there.
Hold the phone for just a second, would you please?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he told me when I interviewed him that he was kind of surprised alarmed, I guess is the word, about the fact that the Israelis chased you all out of there and you had to do a speed dive and all that.
Yeah,
thing. I don't think that Bamford, maybe Bamford mentions that in his book, I don't know, but what do you make of the whole discussion of the Nowicki flip-flop?
I don't have any idea, except that I noticed today that he was, I was just getting through that CT site. There was a CT for a retired CT guy, and some guy was talking about how Nowicki was, I guess he became a chief warrant officer or something, how he was officer in charge of some CT debt back in the middle 70s or early 80s or something, maybe. I don't know what it was, but I don't know why they would say that never happened, because I got the code 1 at the desk there. I know exactly what the hell happened. They were coming out to kill us. I mean, there's no other reason. We'd have gotten a code 1. Means you're in danger of immediate attack. Get out.
Where did you get that from?
What's that?
Where did you get that?
We got it from them. The way I understand it, they were monitoring the Israeli cockpits. And it's been 37 years now, but as near as I can figure out, they were checking for Soviet data links and it's pick up stuff from Egyptian air controllers talking to each other, and they were just screwing around and all of a sudden, in fact, I can remember this like yesterday. Somebody yells out of there, "My God, what's on? There's something crazy on the UHF," and it was coming over the ICS of the whole plane. The pilot comes back up and says, "You gotta get on the secured ICS." Then the guys still didn't switch over for whoever was yelling, but then the next thing I know, within maybe 15 to 20 seconds, as near as I can remember, I hear the pilot's coming up yelling, "Code 1, code 1, and I grabbed my mic there, and I gave an emergency escape heading, because I think we were just getting the heading. We were just getting ready to turn north at the eastern part of the track, and I remember giving them an escape heading. And the first thing that bounced into my mind was the reverse radial out of Satia in Crete, which is when we always go down on. That's the only thing I can think of to yell right off the bat. And then we started descending real fast, and everybody put their The word came out that everybody put on their torso harnesses and to get ready to get their parachutes handy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like yesterday. I'll never forget it.
And you had to do this emergency dive,
yeah? Yeah, and they put as much distance as they could, and they got as much airspeed as they could to put as much distance as we could from us in the Israeli coast. See, what I always thought, it was Egyptians or Russians that were coming out to kill us.
Well, I thought that, pardon me if I don't have everything at the top of my brain, because I've been corresponding with a lot of you, but it seems to me that I read somewhere about the Israelis saying to to you guys, get the hell out of there, or we're going to shoot you down.
No. That never happened.
Yeah.
There wouldn't have been enough time for that.
Well, who issued this code?
The code one came right from the guys in the tent. They were listening in. See, half the crew was clear to know what was going on. The other half didn't know what was going on.
Right.
There were three guys in the tent. The aircraft commander and I think maybe the senior evaluator were cleared to know what they were doing.
And Nowicki was the senior evaluator, right?
Yeah. No, he was the senior CT.
Mm-hmm.
The senior evaluator, I think, was an old pudgy lieutenant commander that was for the whole crew. But I think they were called backdoor clearances.
Right.
And he had a bag. I got one later, a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
And
these were NSA employees, weren't they?
Yes, the guys in the tent were NSA guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who after that were kind of split up, and they moved them on out of the deal. Hold the phone a second.
Yep.
Come on in. This woman just walked in here. Excuse me.
I'm wrong with that.
I appreciate it. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, yeah, split them up just the same as the Liberty crew itself got split up after the incident, huh?
Yeah, those guys. I never did see those guys ever again.
Mm-hmm.
And then funny things started happening. But I never put anything into perspective until years later when I just strange things that would appear to started happening. I don't know. Hard to describe it. The I kept waiting for years for somebody to ask me something about this. And nobody ever did. And then I found out the Navy denied we were even there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they were recording it because I remember the pilot saying, make sure the recorder's working. So I know we got tapes of all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they won't release the damn tapes.
And did you have an open channel where you could hear what the guys in the back were...
No, I couldn't hear what they were saying. But the only thing I heard were the initial conversations when... I don't know who it was, Nowicki, whoever. It might not have been Nowicki. It might have been one of his guys. Freaked out when they heard out what was going on the way to know would be the one that spoke Hebrew, and I don't know which one was speaking Hebrew, because I'm pretty sure those pilots talked to each other in Hebrew, but that's just a...
Yeah, because... So what happened was, let me just to recap from what I heard and read, they overheard the attack happening.
Yeah, going on. They overheard the Israeli air controllers talking to their pilots. And then, later on, I heard something from a guy that said that he'd talked to a Russian intercept operator out of Lebanon who said they had a message where the Russians said clean the air, where the Israelis said had an order to clean the air. In other words, shoot everything down in the sky in that area. Hold the phone.
Yep.
Yeah, come on in. Okay, I got my old colonel friend just walked in here. Anyway, go on. I'm giving an interview, Dave. Sit down and listen to this. Okay, go ahead.
Do you remember the names of the three guys?
What's that?
Do you remember the names of the three guys? I mean, there's Nowicki, and do you remember the other two?
No, I remember a guy. I think he had a nickname of Crazy Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a good he had a reputation for raising hell a lot. And I never did see him again ever after that either.
Well, wouldn't you for every flight have to log in who was going to be on the aircraft?
No, I didn't do that. We didn't take that. Everybody did before. You know, I didn't have nothing to do with the crew manifest.
This was none of your business, or whatever.
No, that was none of my business. That was probably, come to think of it, I don't know who ever did, but I guess I just took it for granted that came out of air operations because they, you know, would assign crews and everything.
Well, you were a Navy officer, right?
Yeah.
And you had nothing to do with Navy Security Group?
No, none of it.
You were just the taxi driver, sir.
I was the taxi driver. In fact, I was a brand new ensign that had no more idea what was going on in the man in the moon.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody's yelling code one in the plane and the wings are about coming off. So I never did forget that.
Who was the pilot?
Oh, this I've been breaking my neck trying to remember. And it's one of three guys. It was either a guy named Frank Messenger. I think the co-pilot, I remember him, was a guy named McNamara. And there was another navigator on the board named Joe McCarrick. I think the aircraft commander was Frank Messenger.
Were these guys that you flew flights of the sort that you did that day or frequently?
Oh, yes. We flew them around in fact, we started about 3 days before the attack. And I set, I think, the record in the history of the U.S. Navy for total flight hours in a month, something like 280 flight hours.
What I mean is that the normal crew are guys that you flew with.
Yeah, we flew with the same crew, but later on the next day our squadron commander came over. His name was Laney, and he came over and flew down in the same area with us.
And what was your squadron's name?
It was called VQ-2.
You were VQ-2, okay.
Yeah.
How many of these Victor Willies were flying up there that day? Just you?
Well, just us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did the Liberty have any communications with you at all?
Not that I know of.
Huh. You would think that if they were tasked by the same organization that they would have some way of...
Oh, you'd think a lot of things, but everybody, everything was so compartmentalized that nobody wanted to know what other people were doing from other people.
All right, well, you didn't see any Israeli aircraft coming at you, right?
No, I didn't see anything.
But you heard this code.
Yeah, I got a code 1. That means that's the only time, to my knowledge. So we used to fly operations up in the Baltic, up off Sweden, and between Russia and Sweden.
Right.
And I think we may have got a code 1 a couple times for Swedish people coming after our A-3s.
Right.
But that was the only time I ever had a code 1. And it was interesting, the next day we had a code 5, which meant navigation error, and the captain was sitting right behind me, and I knew exactly where we were, and a code 5 comes in for a navigation error. And he's all upset, and I gave a heading away, from where we were at, because I figured maybe something was screwed up. But that was, I didn't realize, of course, at the time, that was coming from the guys in the tents there. So they gave a code 5 navigation error, not having any idea where we were. I always thought that was for some other reason, that something screwy was going on. And then the next day, we were ordered to fly 50 miles off. We were only flying 20 miles off.
How long were you in the Air Force? In the Navy, rather.
I got out in Halloween of 69.
Mm-hmm.
I was in about 4 years.
And did any of the people from No Such Agency ever come and talk to you about this incident?
Not a word. I've been 30 years, 35 years. Nobody ever said anything to me about it.
Because
I put something up on the Internet about a year ago, and since then people, it turns out I didn't ever put it into, I was just talking about when the Israelis came out to kill us. I never put it in context with the Liberty, although that's when it was going on, but... I just wrote about if anybody was there when the Israelis came out to kill us, and then it touched off a firestorm, I guess, because everybody denies the code 1.
Why?
That's the whole thing. See, they deny. I've been reading that people say the code 1 never happened.
Who was the guy who told you that the code 1 had just come over your intercom?
The aircraft commander. It came right over the ICS saying code 1, code 1.
And who was sending that code 1?
It came from the guys in the tents. They were picking it up.
Okay.
They were listening into the Israeli
right
inner data link.
Right. And so did the Israelis tell the guys in the tent get out of here or what?
No, they overheard Israeli controllers telling Israeli pilots to kill them.
Oh, okay. Okay. And these could have been the same pilots who had attacked the Liberty, maybe.
Yes, they were on their way to shoot up the Liberty.
When did you find out about the Liberty?
When we got back to the base and heard about this shooting. And then for a while, I never put the two together. I didn't realize that I didn't know that the Liberty and what was happening to us were involved in the same thing.
When did you find that out? On St. Bamford's book?
No, when I found out where the next 2 days later, when I saw the reports of where the Liberty was and what time it happened. Then all of a sudden I said, hey, we were right on top of it.
But you know that the government told the Liberty guys not to say anything.
They told everybody to shut up, and they transferred crews and ruined careers and every other day.
But they never said anything to you.
Nobody ever said a peep to us.
And when you got back, I guess you guys, everybody on board was sort of shaken by what had happened, this power dive and all that.
Yeah, they were pretty, but then we came, we just did our jobs and came back and never thought anything about it just because, you do your job and did it the next day.
I know, but...
Nobody knew except the guys, the aircraft commander... The top eval and the guys in the tent knew it was the Israelis coming out to kill us. Everybody else thought it was Russians or Egyptians.
And the NSA people, the linguists who had heard the attack going on, didn't say, hey, wow, this is an amazing thing. Our friend Israel is trying.
No, nobody said anything about that. Nobody said anything about that. And it wasn't until later that I realized what had happened. Even when I, in fact, actually, everybody kind of forgot about it. Because 2 years later, I got a backdoor clearance where I was had the same thing as everybody, as the CTs. And I never thought about it enough even to check the files on.
But you were still a navigator, right?
Yeah, I was still a navigator. Right. I was doing other things, but I never even, it never, you know, I never thought that much about it to even care, because, hell, the Chinese came out to try to kill us when we flew a track off Hainan Island there, and of course, you know, the North Vietnamese are doing it all the time, so I never did, you know, I just took it just, you know, part of the deal about, you know, you're doing your duty and you're fighting communism, I guess. But it turns out it wasn't, I was fighting world Zionism, didn't realize it.
Well, were you an ELINT operator later?
Nope. I just got it, my last skipper, a guy named Hatch, decided that he wanted the navigators given clearances too, so he thought we'd cooperate better with them. Help them find information better. That would make us maybe work a little harder to keep our traction better.
Did you find out subsequent to the June 8th incident with the Liberty and your incident anything involving the Israelis or provocative actions on them?
Nope, didn't hear anything about it. Except then I started reading about the stuff after I got out about how the Liberty crew was treated like shit and everything, but. And why they put up with it, I never understood. I don't care what that admiral would have said. Come in there, somebody tried to shoot my ass up. You couldn't have shut me up with a hammer, man.
Yeah. Well, I understand that you've made some sort of dramatic or interesting postings about various things concerned with medals that some of the guys should have gotten and so on.
Yes, I thought that we should have been at least given a unit citation for the stuff we did out there that time.
Yeah.
And it was like, and they've taken us completely off the history of the squadron. That's another screwy thing. There's nothing in our squadron history that says what we did during there.
You mean that day?
Yes. No, the whole time. Anything about the 67 war and what our part was in it and doing all that stuff. That stuff has been excised out of our squadron history.
Is that for security reasons?
I don't know why else they would not put it in. It was one of the biggest things we ever did. They talk about the stuff they did in the 73 war, but they sure as hell didn't talk about any stuff about the 67 war.
How many of these EC-121s were operating? I guess you were flying out of Spain?
Yeah, but we flew out of Athens.
Athens.
That was our forward detachment. We had, I think they had four of them, and they were always breaking down.
Mm-hmm. And then later they went to AWACS and so on.
No, they went to P-3s later on.
Yeah, P-3 Orions. Yeah. Do they still use those?
Yes, that was the ones they flew in that my sister squadron, VQ-1, where they flew that airplane into China. And landed it. And
oh, that's right.
They made the sumbitch a hero. He should have been court-martialed when he got back. That plane should be down at the bottom of the South China Sea.
Yeah.
Just like that helicopter today that those guys walked away from and didn't blow the sumbitch up. Did you see that?
I did.
I couldn't believe it. There's this helicopter sitting there that hadn't been damaged. I thought those guys carried hand grenades with them.
Well, or thermite grenades or something like that.
Yeah.
To light them up, yeah.
Well, I got an old B-26 aircraft commander here. They'd never taken his plane while he was in it, I'll tell you that. Well, anything else you need?
I guess that covers it, unless you can think of, again, the names of the other people who were with you, whether they're the NSA people or the regular crewmen who might
be. All I ever know is Nowicki and Crazy Charlie. And a guy named Crazy Charlie.
And did your plane, this guy Chuck, you know him, he's with the PQ2 website.
Yep.
He apparently found the Bureau of Naval, the Bureau of Naval Affairs, the number of your plane.
Yeah, that kind of stunned me when he asked me if that was my plane, because I got my logbook here and I checked it. That was the same number, all right.
Do you have in your logbook anything reflecting this incident?
All it says is that I got it the date we flew out of Athens that day and coming back.
But you didn't report this amazing thing with.
No, I never thought anything about it. I logged it. See, another thing too, I had my continual flight log and charts, and they were all handed in, and of course I put down on the chart, you know, code 1 at this time.
Yeah, but you didn't put that in your log, you said.
No, that was the log is a is not a confidential thing. That's your logbook to show your total hours.
Right.
But my flight log. And everything. Of course, they were always, the log and the chart were always considered top secret, and you turn them in at the end of the flight. So they've got my flight log and my navigator's log on that day, I guarantee you, because I turned it into them.
Who's they?
The United States Navy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if any of that could be declassified at any
point. I don't know. They're saying that this stuff is methods in some manner or something, but that stuff is all Cro-Magnon stuff.
Sources and methods.
Yeah, it's all bullshit when they say they don't want to release it.
Yeah, what it is politics, probably.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And they don't want to embarrass our allies.
Now, there was no doubt on my mind that them people were coming out to kill my ass. I'll tell you, to shoot me out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was Egyptians and found out it was Israelis.
Mm-hmm.
Well, take it easy.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If I have a follow-up or two, maybe I can get back at you.
You betcha.
Thanks, John.
Goodbye.
Bye.